Praise God. Woo. I want to share some thoughts tonight with you about grace. We've been studying grace and favor in Sunday school. We've studied in the past in Bible study. But I just want to look at some things tonight and maybe approach grace in a little bit different, from a different avenue. I'm not going to change it. Grace is still grace. We're not changing anything. But the main definition that we have worked with a lot in Sunday school is that grace is the divine influence on the heart and its reflection in the life. And there's a lot of things of grace and favor that I don't want to discount them. Don't think that I'm trying to reduce them or eliminate them or anything. But a lot of times when we think of grace and favor, it's just the things that happen for us, in a sense. You know, of just, you know, whether it's we have good weather, we find good bargains, our needs get met, you know. And that's all grace. Praise the Lord. That's all grace. And I'm not discounting any of that, but I want to go to Romans tonight, chapter 5, and just look at some things here, because grace is more than just a condition. I believe grace is power. And it's not a word we use for power, and it doesn't necessarily mean power as such, but I believe the effect of grace is power in our lives. It's more than just things work out for us. It's more than just unmerited favor. It is unmerited favor. It is God's favor and God moving on our behalf for no reason of our own, that we haven't earned it or anything. But yet it goes beyond just that beginning stage. I believe there's something deeper in grace that we can look at. Romans chapter 5, and I'm going to start in verse 12. I just want to look at this account a little bit of things. It says, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from the one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offenses resulted in justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. I know that's kind of a meaty chunk right there, but I just want to take a look at some things in this account of how sin entered the world and what happened with Adam and the opposite or the counter side of that of what happened with Jesus. Just some things I want to take a look at. Verse 13 says, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. And we are so used to living under the law, we don't think about it. We just think about sin as being stuff we do wrong because we've got the law to tell us what's right and what's wrong. And we really zeroed in on that. But sin was in the world before there was ever any law. It came into the world through what Adam did. And But it says, but sin isn't imputed where there's no law. So it really doesn't matter whether there's law or not. Sin is still there, and it's still working, and the effect is still there. Even though you don't have, even though specific sin is not put on your record, death still has the upper hand, because death came into the world through sin. Now, in verse 14, it says that death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam. And I thought this was an interesting thing, because Adam's sin was a very distinct type of sin. And all sin is, if you've committed one sin, you've committed them all. There's no, you know, well, if you only commit three or four sins, you'll be better off than if you commit 10. Sin is sin. But Adam's sin was different, because he was spiritually alive with God's life and nature, yet he willingly chose to disobey. And he didn't have the nature of sin within him forcing him to sin. And when you think about this, Adam's sin was terribly, terribly severe. We don't get off the hook because we have the influence now of sin that reigns in our bodies, and the influence of, before we came to Jesus, the influence of being dead. Adam was alive. He was alive. There was no sin nature. He was perfect in his creation. He had the breath of God in him, and he had fellowship with God. There was no death working anywhere in nature or in him spiritually. There was no death. And yet, he went against God's command and sinned. And it says, we haven't sinned like that. Our sin is sin, but we didn't sin like that. Because once he did that, it spread to everyone. Verses 15 and 16 said, that one sin resulted in death to everybody. That's how serious the sin was. And you know, we are so used to living with sin, acceptable sin, you know, not so bad sin. And in this day and age, there's so much really, really bad sin going on around us. We're even getting a little numb to that, because it just permeates everything. Even, we were talking about it earlier, but even in movies that are, quote, family movies, sin's right there. Sin is in those movies, and we just sort of see it and accept it, and we laugh at it and take sides with it sometimes, because the characters in the films are fun and interesting on the side that's doing the same. I mean, we're just so surrounded by it that it we don't realize how serious sin is. And what Adam did was really serious, because it brought death to everybody. When he died and death came in, this boggles my intellectual thinking, but it's like everybody now, nobody had a chance. Now, I know you can kink on this if you would think that if they had children before they had sinned, would those children have turned dead when Adam sinned, you know, because that's beyond my revelation to understand all of that. But everybody, that one thing that he did caused everybody to be dead. Everybody to be spiritually dead from that point on. They were born dead before they could even sin. And if we'll get a good grip on this, this will help us when we're trying to reach the lost, because we are so zeroed in on the law and breaking the law, and sin is breaking the law, that we forget that people are not in their trouble because, I mean, sin doesn't help them any, but they're not there because they've sinned. They were born dead. They were born spiritually dead. and they need to be made alive. It's not that they have sinned so many times they've messed up their life and now they need help. They needed help the minute they came out of the womb because they were born dead before they could sin on their own. But the gift of grace, verse 17 says, even though death reigned through this one act and reigned for everybody, it says, but much more those who receive abundance of grace, abundance of this favor that God is extending and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. The gift of grace and righteousness is greater than all the sins ever committed, as well as the ones that haven't been committed yet. Grace is so much greater than sin, so much more powerful, so much greater than the sin, because it can undo what not only that one sin has done, but all the sin that's been done on top of that one sin that started it all out. It can undo that sin. Righteousness is stronger than the force of death. We can be born again and made spiritually alive and can walk in victory over the force of sin that still resides in our body and mind. Even though we get born again, our spirit gets born again, there's still sin residue that lives in our flesh. And until we get a glorified body, that sin residue is always there. In our minds, there is sin residue in there. If we don't renew our minds, there's sin stuff in our soul and in our mind that's always at work. We can renew our minds, but if we are not diligent and continually working to continually renew, if left unattended, there's still that sin influence that can overtake us. But righteousness can overcome that. It can overcome that effect in our body and in our mind to change things for us. And it says here in verse 17 that those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. We talk a lot about righteousness. We focus on understanding that righteousness is right standing with God. And, you know, we work at developing that understanding and building that into our soul and operating that righteousness. But the righteousness is a gift because of the grace, because of the grace that God extended. Jesus is the one that lived the righteous life. It's his righteousness that we get, but it's because of grace that we can even have the righteousness. Grace is the foundation of this. Now in verse 17 says, those who receive this abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one Jesus Christ. Reign means to rule, and we think, well, that's not anything new. But the root of that word means that there is a foundation of power. If we receive grace and the gift of righteousness, we can rule through Jesus Christ. And we have a new foundation of power. Now, I'm not saying this is doctrinally specific one way or the other, but most of the time, we would look at this as, because we have the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that is our foundation of power. Or the right standing we have with God, that's our foundation of power. But as I've been looking at this, I just want to approach it tonight, not from a doctrinal standpoint, but just a thought standpoint. Grace is the foundation of power in our life. Anything that we develop or receive of God or are able to work in with the Spirit of God is because of the grace. We've been learning about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The only reason we can have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the immersion of the power of God, to be able to be a witness, is because God is extending grace. Because there is absolutely nothing we can do to make ourselves fit for that to happen to us, to prepare ourselves. Adam and Eve, when Adam sinned, they knew they were naked, so they tried to fix their situation. They tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, and it just didn't work. It wasn't sufficient. There was nothing they could do to fix what had happened. They were broken, and the only way we can be fixed is because God has just extended grace. And this might be a little touchy, but in a sense, we can't be fixed. Even to a certain degree, God can't necessarily fix us. He just has to give us a clean slate and put his life back in us and start over with us. Because we're not really, I mean, our spirit man gets life again. That is, he changes us in that way, but we were broken beyond repair. He's extending grace and just making a way for us to have a new start. Otherwise, there would be no help for us. We would just be separated from God forever and suffer death forever and ever and ever because we can't be fixed. But he's extended grace so that we can take advantage of what he's offered of the righteousness in Jesus to be able to function with him again. And no matter how holy and pure we get, no matter how much we renew our minds, no matter how much we understand the Word of God and grow in wisdom, no matter how close we walk to God, nothing of that ever will fix us. It's only the grace that allows us to enjoy all that God has for us and to be able to walk in it. So we have a new foundation of power. This grace is the foundation. Without that favor, without God extending the opportunity, there's nothing is available to us. No way. Nothing is there to help us. Now, the last verse of this section, verse 19, this is just something for our thoughts in general. It says, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. And I think this just reminds us of sin's effect. Adam's sin was a terrible sin, but the effect of sin passes on to others. Because we could think, well, that's just not right. Adam did that, and now we're being punished for what Adam did. And it's like, no, we're not being punished. It's just that's how bad sin is. I mean, one sin, that one sin killed everybody that would ever be born. For 6,000 years, everybody that's still born, all the little babies that are yet to be born are going to be born in spiritual death because of that one sin. And we need to look, even though our sin isn't the same as Adam's, sin has an effect and it passes on to other people. And a lot of times we think, you know, we can keep our sin private. You know, we can try to hide it from everybody else. But sin affects other people. It travels. Even if nobody sees it in you. Maybe it's a secret sin that nobody sees. But it still travels through generations. And the scriptures tells us that sin is visited to the third and fourth generation. And, you know, we talked one time when we were dealing with things that happen in problems and difficulties or physical ailments and things that can pass from generation to generation. It's like sometimes we're dealing with things maybe in our soul or in our body that has absolutely nothing to do with our own sin. It is because somebody back in our generations opened the door for that and let that in, and it just passes through. And praise God for God's grace that we can change that. We can be delivered from that and put a stop to that. But on the opposite side of this, of how terrible this sin is, how much greater grace is, because the blessing of God goes to 1,000 generations. You know, we might have 3 or 4 generations back here that something's messing with our soul or our body that we've dealt with, but you know, 1,000 generations back, somebody was believing God, and because God is honoring the covenant that he is, just to go to Abraham, because God is honoring the covenant that he had with Abraham, we can be blessed. We can enjoy the blessings of God. We can enjoy what God has for us, because for 1,000 generations that blessing carries through. That's because grace is so much greater than sin. If it were equal to sin, we wouldn't be able to get ahead. But because it's greater than sin, we can get ahead. Praise God. One of the things is I was just praying and seeking God on this, because I was studying. It's just like, God, I need help. It's like, I know there's something there. And it's like, you get a taste of something, you know, you see something, just a flash or a flicker. And it's like, man, I know there's something there. And I just can't quite get it. And I keep reading and studying. And then I look up all the words. And I pray and I read and I study. And I look up more words. And I look up more scriptures. And it's just like, and I just can't quite find it. And I was so frustrated. And it's just like, I just started talking to God and just laying it out before him. And I got to thinking about grace and favor and how it's so easy to try to get there on your own and not rely on the favor. And it's just like, oh, but God, your favor is there for me. And it came out my mouth as I was just talking to God about this. Grace can take me forward farther than sin can drag me back. No matter, you know, because we're always judging our actions. And you know, when you struggle, and sometimes, you know, you haven't read your Bible enough, you haven't prayed enough, you haven't studied enough, you haven't done this enough, oh, you might have, you know, misspoke to someone, or you've been grouchy. I mean, you know, we go through the list because we're used to living under the law. We're used to dealing with specific sins, and we get trapped in that, and we get caught in all those things, and yet all of that can just drop off because of grace. And it's like we need to study to show ourselves approved. There's things we need to do. But if we get stuck in that place and we forget the grace, we will get bogged down. We won't be able to go forward. And grace lets us move beyond even what our failures and shortcomings have dropped us back. And it doesn't mean that you always drop back, but even if you feel like you've dropped back, like you've just been lazy for a week and just haven't, and now you just feel miserable and you don't know where to start to get straightened out, you know, because it's just, you know, you haven't been where you should be. Grace can take you farther forward than all that sin and all that condemnation or the failure to measure up to whatever you think God wants you to measure up to. I mean, he wants us to measure up to Jesus. Well, hey, none of us make it, you know? We just don't. No matter how good we are, we're just not there yet. But by grace, we can be. Because the Bible tells us that as he is, so are we in this world. And the only way that can be is by grace, because we know better. We know we're not like him of our own behavior, of our own thoughts, of our own actions. We know that we can't measure up to that. But grace can make us just like him. Hallelujah. Grace can make us just like Jesus. In Romans 5, flip back there if you'd like to, the first couple of verses. These are just some more things about this grace as we look at it and what it does for us and how to live in it. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We focus on our faith, but faith gets us to the grace. We got to have faith. We've got to believe God. We have got to believe what he has said. But that believing gets us in touch with the grace, gets us in touch with the favor so that something can happen, something can change in our life. Ephesians 1:16 tells us that we have been accepted in Jesus. Let's look at that. I want to see how that exactly says this. That isn't the right verse. It's 6, Ephesians 1, 6. It says, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. We are accepted in Jesus because of the grace of God, because of the favor that he has extended to us, has made us accepted in Jesus. It's that grace, it's that favor that he extends toward us. And we've talked then out of Titus 2 how that grace teaches us to live godly, teaches us how to live. It says, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. But grace teaches us. This goes back to the initial definition of God's divine influence on our heart and its reflection in the life. If we really are giving in to the grace, if we're going beyond just the promise of the scripture, just the letter of the law, of the facts, going beyond the facts, but really get into this grace and favor, it's going to teach us. It's going to change us. It is going to affect us, in a sense, more than the righteousness, because without the grace, there's no righteousness. Righteousness does wonderful things for us when we realize that we have right standing with God. Then we're bold. We can do these things. We can be who he says we can be. But if it weren't for the grace, we wouldn't even have that. But that grace will teach us, and it'll cause a reflection of God in our lives. It can make us as Jesus is while we're in this world. We can be like him because of the effect of that grace in our life. Praise God. Let's flip over to 2 Timothy 1:9. Something else about this grace. It's talking about Jesus. It says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. Before time began. This is before the creation of the earth. And you had day and night where there was time measurement. Way before all of this came to be, grace was given to us in Jesus. That's how powerful this grace is. It was there before any of this was even made, before Adam even thought about disobeying God. Grace was already there being extended to us before time began. It has been there all along. It wasn't just something God came up with after Adam sinned and he had to figure out a way to work it out. Had to figure out a way to reverse the effects or change what happened. Grace was already in place before any of this ever took place. So in verse 1 of chapter 2 there, while we're in 2 Timothy then, it says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We have got to be strong in this favor. We have got to be ever aware of the grace and the favor that is with us. Now, as we grow, we learn to operate in who we are in Jesus, and we learn what we have in him, our right standing. We learn about the gifts. We learn about yielding to the Holy Spirit. We gain wisdom and understanding in the scriptures. But we need to be strong in grace. We have got to be ever mindful that everything that we develop in and everything that we grow and mature in, it's still the grace that is bringing it all to pass, bringing it all into manifestation in our life. We've got to be strong in that. Now I want to look at a couple scriptures. Let's flip over to James chapter 4 about how this grace can come to us. James chapter 4, verse 6. It's a familiar verse to us. He says, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Verse 7 then says, therefore, submit to God. God gives grace to the humble, so we have to submit ourselves to God. The first thing of humility is staying submitted to God. If we'll stay submitted to God, grace will continue to be exercised in our direction. Favor upon favor, grace upon grace. There'll be just more and more and more. There's no ending to this grace. It's not just grace to say, okay, well, now you can be accepted in Jesus. It's grace to be able to breathe today. It's grace to be able to accomplish anything. It's grace to be able to understand, grace to be able to grow. But he says, if we'll humble ourselves to God, submit ourselves to God, grace comes from that. And then there's a counterpart to that in 1 Peter. Chapter 5, verse 5. And again, this is very familiar. It says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. This is a counterpart to it, because even in our submission to God, God is saying then, if you're submitted to me, then submit to each other. Because I work in each one of you. So there may be times where God moves through one of us to minister to one of us, or to just have a word or whatever, or give instruction. So we've got to stay submitted to one another and always be open to the fact that God might use somebody. You know, because we categorize everyone, you know. I mean, we shouldn't do this, but we do it. You know, we judge whether someone's spiritual enough to speak into our lives, or whether they've got their act together enough to have the audacity to even tell us something we might be doing wrong. You know, we look at people that way. We categorize them. But he's just saying, be submitted to one another. Be submitted to spiritual authority. And that can come whether it might be ministers of the gospel, whether it's parents and children. There's all levels of spiritual authority, whether it's just one believer to another. But it's part of us developing in the grace and staying in the grace and letting that grace continually be extended to us so that we don't block it. We talked about that this morning, of not blocking that grace and favor. But if we stay submitted to God and submitted to spiritual authority, submitted to one another, that is one of the ways that we can let that grace continue to flow toward us. And then in chapter 4 of 1 Peter, there's just grace all over the place. It says, as each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We have to use the grace that God has extended to us for other people. We have to be a good steward of it. Because God has extended favor to us, we have to use that wisely and be a good steward of it and be able to extend it to others and be able to minister to others and share with others and bless other people, being good stewards of that grace, of whatever he has graced us with, whatever giftings, whatever understanding, whatever ability, just life in Jesus alone, that we be a good steward of that and minister that grace to other people. Let's go over to 2 Peter chapter 2. Is that right? Whoever typed my notes did a terrible job. Well, I don't know where it is, but I'll tell you. I can promise you it is in the scriptures. And I will have to let you know later. But it tells us that we are to be diligent to be found by Jesus in peace without spot and blameless. We are to be diligent to be found by Jesus in peace, without spot and blameless. And then just a few verses below that, it says that we are to grow in the grace and the knowledge of Jesus. That grace is what enables us to be found by Jesus in peace and without spot and blameless. It's that grace working in us. We need to grow in the grace. We need to let favor continually be affecting us in all that we do. Always being aware. And this is where we've been talking about just how that the blessing goes with me wherever I go. The favor of God goes with me wherever I go. So it's being aware of that grace is always with us. And instead of whenever we encounter a bump in the road or a problem or situations, that we're always being mindful that God's favor is with me. God's favor is with me to bring me through, to help me to overcome, to get me through this situation, to bring us into peace, to keep me without spot and blameless, to keep me walking with Him. There's always favor there. He's always extending favor. Always extending favor. Did you find what chapter? 2 Peter 3:14 instead of 2. See, whoever typed just hit the wrong thing. 3:14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by Him in peace, without spot and blameless. Hallelujah. See, it was in the Bible. And then verse 18 tells us, grow in grace. Grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. But grow in these things. Always be cultivating the knowledge and the remembrance that God's grace is there working and always being extended to us. In Hebrews 4:16 is another familiar verse that says we are to come boldly to the throne of grace to get grace. God just keeps offering favor. He didn't just sort of declare it one time. He's just always offering favor, always offering grace. And He's saying, now come boldly to the throne where grace comes from. He's given us the grace to come boldly. He's given us the favor that we can actually approach Him. And He says, okay, approach me and then get more grace, more favor, more grace every day. I mean, you know, if we can... It's learning to walk in our righteousness and learning to have our minds cleansed of an evil conscience and not have a condemnation mindset. And He's just saying, just keep coming all the time. Keep coming and getting more grace, more grace. It doesn't matter what you've done. I've made a way for you to be set free from what you've done. I made the blood of Jesus to cleanse that. He said, if we'll just confess our sins, we want to pay for them. We want to do our penance. We want to do whatever. We want to feel bad for a while. And we should feel bad when we sin, but it shouldn't be something that just lays there and hangs there. He just said, come to the throne and get more grace. If you've messed up, well, then come to the throne. And He tells us when we do, just confess your sin. Just say, this is what I did. I shouldn't have done it, and I did it. And He says, okay, now take more grace. Take more favor. Take more favor. Because if you just acknowledge it, the blood of Jesus just washes that away. Because I already had it washed away before you sinned, so it's not an issue, but just acknowledge it, and then it just washes it away, and just take some more favor, take some more favor, take some more favor. And it's a real change in mindset, because we're ever aware of our weaknesses, our inabilities in some areas, just our lack of knowledge, our lack of understanding, our shortcomings, whatever. We're reminded of those all the time. Because we live there. We've not completely renewed our mind. That's that sin residue stuff that's always there before us. So we continually need to be calling on that grace that God can make things work even when we don't understand how, or when we don't have what it takes, or when we don't understand, or we don't know, or we have failed, or we've fallen short. He's got a way. He's got favor that can always just keep overcoming all that and take you farther than the failure can pull you back. He'll just keep taking you farther and farther and farther and farther. That grace will just keep working and working on us. Now, a couple other scriptures about this grace. Let's go to Galatians chapter 2. Certainly hope that's the right chapter. My track record's not been too good this evening, but we'll just believe that this one's going to be right. Galatians 2, verse 21 says, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. But it says, I don't set aside the grace of God. The old King James says, I don't frustrate the grace of God. And that word there that has been translated set aside here in the New King James, or frustrate in the old King James, it means neutralize or to cast off or reject. And he's saying, don't neutralize the favor. Don't cast it off. Don't reject this favor. Don't reject what God has offered us. Because this is, if righteousness would come through the law, then Christ died in vain. Don't reject grace, because this grace is because Jesus died. Excuse me. It says, don't cast it off. Don't neutralize the grace, because that's where your life is. Because you don't have any hope, because righteousness doesn't come through the law. I mean, he's telling us here that Christ died in vain if it comes through the law, but it doesn't come through the law. So Christ did not die in vain. So don't you neutralize what he's done. Don't reject what he's done. Don't frustrate it. Don't reject it. Don't cast it off. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Pardon me. Says here in verses 1 and 2, we then as workers together with him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in an acceptable time I've heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. He says, don't receive this grace in vain. Vain means to be empty. Don't receive this as just something that's empty. Don't receive it as just a nice doctrine. Don't receive it as just a nice religious word. It's not just a nice song that we sing, Amazing Grace. It's not just a nice word. Don't let it be empty. Because he says, in an acceptable time, I heard you and I have helped you in the day of salvation. We're living now. This is the day of salvation. We're living in this. So don't just receive this as empty. This matters to you. He wants us to walk in all that he's provided. And there's things that we learn as we study the scriptures and as we grow and we mature and develop and as we correct and line ourselves up with the word of God. But he's saying, it's all by grace. Even when you're really skilled in the word of righteousness, even when you're skilled in flowing in the Holy Spirit, even when you're skilled in wisdom and understanding, that you can answer all the questions that people might have of you, that you just have the answers because you know God and the Word so well. But don't ever forget, that's the grace. It's all grace. The only reason you can know the Scripture is because of grace, because he has given us the ability, and it comes by revelation. It's only because he opens it up to our understanding. It's not because we just keep studying it real good that we get it. You can, without God, you could just read and read and read and read and read and never get it. That's what Jesus told the Pharisees. You search the Scriptures. Just search and search and search and search and search and think you're going to find life. You think you're going to find God. You're going to find it out. And they're talking about me. And you don't see it because they weren't operating in any grace. And there was favor. They may not have had the grace yet to be born again, but there was grace being offered to them through faith in God. God has made the way for grace to be extended he extended grace to Adam right from the get-go. And the first thing he did was cover him up because he was exposed, because he was dead, and now there was no glory on him, and they knew something was wrong. They knew they shouldn't be seen, and they tried to cover themselves up, and God said, you can't cover yourself good enough. I've got to do it. Blood had to be shed, even for that temporary fix, until Jesus could come and actually cleanse things, actually undo what Adam had done and start things over. But it's that grace of God that we need to just meditate on this grace and be aware continually of God's grace that is extended to us. That we have access to all these things by grace. We have access to prosperity, access to healing, access to wisdom and understanding, all because of the grace of God. And God is just so willing to give us all these things. He just, if you will just come by faith, if you will just come to me, I'm just going to give you everything. I'll just give you everything. Everything I have is yours. I'll give it all to you. And we talked about it this morning in Sunday school class, that Jesus walked in the fullness of that grace because he believed God. I mean, he didn't have that sin influence, praise God. He was perfect. But yet he walked it all out as a man, but he lived with all that grace operating so he could operate in all the gifts of the Spirit whenever they were needed. Power could flow out of him even when he wasn't doing anything. When the woman with the issue of blood came, she just had to reach out in faith, and the grace just flowed out of him. And as much as Jesus could have, quote, known everything, obviously the Father did not tell him who did that, because he says, who touched me? Somebody drew on me. Somebody took this grace and drew it out by faith. So we want to come boldly by faith to the throne of grace and receive all this grace. It's all there for us. We can walk like Jesus if we'll continue in the grace. If we'll let the grace have its work and let it give us all that belongs to us, we even have grace to deal with these situations. God has given them grace for those kind of moments, given them favor that they know how to deal with it, know how to handle it, are able to deal. Come to the throne of grace and receive the grace of God. Amen? Ever be mindful of God's grace. It's how we are able to function and live. Amen? Let's stand up. Praise you, Father. God, we thank you tonight for your grace. We thank you, God, that before time began, you extended your favor. God, you did everything. You had it all planned out. You had Jesus crucified before the world was even made, so that we could walk in this grace, that we could walk in all that you have available for us. Even though we were damaged goods, God, you have extended favor to us and made us able to walk in everything that you had planned for us to start with, even though we got messed up. God, we just praise you and thank you for that grace. Father, help us to be ever mindful of it, to not frustrate it, to not set it aside, to not just treat it as empty, but to receive all that you have for us through the grace that we find in Jesus. We give you praise and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.